Okay. So today I'm going to talk about lower respiratory symptoms associated with environmental and reconstruction exposure after Hurricane Sandy. Hurricane Sandy struck the northeastern United States on October 29, 2012. It was the largest and second costliest hurricane in U.S. history, resulting in numerous deaths and $50 to $65 billion in damages. The storm surge caused extensive flooding in New York City, and the relief and reconstruction efforts that followed exposed people to potential respiratory irritants. So the existing literature is mixed on the risk of respiratory problems after a hurricane. A review of studies of the health effects of exposure to mold in the months following Hurricanes Katrina and Rita found no increase in respiratory symptoms. Meanwhile, another study found an elevated risk for respiratory issues such as sinusitis and cough, as well as new onset asthma among restoration workers after Hurricane Katrina. And as for studies done after Hurricane Sandy, one analysis of Poison Control Center data found a significant increase in gasoline exposure after Sandy, with pulmonary symptoms as the top toxic effects. And a study of Long Island emergency departments found a 4% increase in visits for diseases of the respiratory system in the month following Sandy compared to the month before Sandy. So the people who were affected by Hurricane Sandy were also exposed to the events of 9/11. And as Dr. Jordan spoke to, being exposed to 9/11 comes with its own host of health problems. And lower respiratory symptoms are one of the top symptoms reported by people exposed. And this is by both an increase in self-report of respiratory symptoms, as well as a decrease in pulmonary function by clinical measures. And so this is a map of the high surge areas for Hurricane Sandy. In blue is New Jersey, and in red is New York. And all of the black dots are the registry's Wave 3 survey respondents, which Wave 3 data collection ended in November of 2012, so right about the time Hurricane Sandy occurred. And you can see areas like Lower Manhattan, where the attacks took place, were heavily affected, as well as areas like Staten Island and Far Rockaway, where many of our 9/11 rescue recovery workers live. So registry resources provided a rare opportunity to conduct a relatively rapid survey of the experiences and physical and mental health outcomes of persons directly affected by Sandy in the New York metropolitan area, in addition to having prior information on their health status and 9/11 exposure. So for our Hurricane Sandy survey, the sample was drawn from those enrollees who completed the adult Wave 3 survey. The survey was conducted from March to November of 2013, and our response rate was just over 51%. Our specific research objectives for this study were to describe exposures to respiratory hazards following Sandy, examine the prevalence of post-Sandy lower respiratory symptoms, or I'm just going to say LRS from here on out, assess whether post-Sandy exposures were associated with subsequent LRS, and then finally to determine if this relationship between exposure and LRS differed according to pre-existing respiratory problems. To be included in the sample, you had to be 18 years or older at Wave 1. You had to have completed survey waves 1 through 3 and the Sandy survey. You were excluded if you had incomplete outcome data, and this left us with a final sample of 3,835. So our dependent variable, which was report of LRS on the Sandy survey, was defined as report of wheezing, persistent cough, or shortness of breath on at least one of the preceding 30 days. And we had three main exposure variables of interest from the Sandy survey. This was reconstruction exposure, so this would be report of doing tear out work or other major repairs after Sandy. Mold or damp environment, so this would be reporting flooding in the home or seeing or smelling mold. And then finally, other irritants, so report of being exposed to exhaust fumes from generators or diesel fuel. We used descriptive statistics to describe Sandy exposures and post-Sandy LRS, and then bivariate analyses and multivariable regression to determine if the individual exposures, as well as if the number of exposures reported, were significantly associated with post-Sandy LRS. And so this table here looks at each of those individual exposures by the rows and then post-Sandy LRS. And so about 34% of the sample reported having post-Sandy LRS. 33% reported reconstruction exposure, about 37% mold and damp environment, and about 38% other irritants. And each of these individual exposures were associated with LRS in bivariate analyses. And this is a similar table, but this looks at the number of exposures reported, so from zero up to all three exposures. 48% of the sample reported no exposure, up to 21% reporting all three. And this was also significantly associated with post-Sandy LRS in the bivariate analysis. And so this table looks at the multivariable regression for each of the individual exposures among all participants or everybody in the sample. For those who reported reconstruction exposure, they were 80% more likely to then report post-Sandy LRS compared to those who did not have this exposure. Those who reported the mold or damp environment exposure were twice as likely to report post-Sandy LRS. And those with other irritants were also just over twice as likely to report post-Sandy LRS. And so we also, as I mentioned in the objectives, wanted to look at whether or not pre-existing lower respiratory symptoms played any role or had any impact on this relationship. So we stratified by whether or not they reported lower respiratory symptoms in their Wave 3 survey from 2011 to 2012 using the same definition for LRS. And so first, for reconstruction exposure, we see between those without LRS and then on the far end, those with LRS, it was the odds ratios are fairly similar. There was no statistical difference between the two. And then similar for mold and damp environment and other irritants, there wasn't a significant difference between the odds ratios in the group without LRS, previous LRS, and the group with previous LRS. And so this forest plot looks at the number of exposures and the relationship between relationship with post-Sandy LRS, and so zero exposures is the reference category here. And we see a significant dose response in the number of exposures reported, and then going on to develop LRS, starting with one exposure. Those people were just over twice as likely to develop post-Sandy LRS, all the way up to those who reported all three exposures were 2.7 times more likely to report having post-Sandy LRS. So in summary, each exposure was independently associated with post-Sandy LRS. We saw a significant dose-response relationship between the number of exposure types reported and the odds of post-Sandy LRS. And the magnitude of the association between these exposures and post-Sandy LRS was similar for participants with or without pre-existing LRS, suggesting that these Sandy-related exposures were risk factors for both new-onset LRS and for the persistence or exacerbation of pre-existing LRS. Some of the strengths of this study are that we had pre-Sandy information allowing us to account for prior history and comorbidities when assessing the relationship between Sandy exposure and LRS. And we also asked about a broad range of post-Sandy exposures resulting from circumstances and activities related to reconstruction work or returning home after a hurricane. One limitation is that we didn't collect any data on the use of personal protective gear, such as respirators, which may mitigate post-exposure LRS. And our recommendations are for continued guidance on safe and timely remediation of damp and mold environments, and that studies are needed to evaluate the effectiveness of various means of protection during remediation activities. And with that, I'd like to thank our enrollees and our survey participants, my co-authors, CDC and NIOSH for funding the registry, and you guys.